Again, man, we are so pumped that you are here, and we are going right into a continuation of our service from 2 weeks ago and just really coming to a place, even this morning in worship, just this sense of what it is to be steadfast and immovable. What a powerful word in a sense of what it is to walk in a way of being steadfast. That's a great word this morning. And just coming from our place of worship this morning, man, one of my favorite scriptures, I love them all, and you hear me say, one of my favorite scriptures, man, Pastor, you have a lot of favorite scriptures. I actually do. And one that really spoke to me so many years ago is 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be steadfast and immovable. And I just felt the Lord just say, Sean, this is you. Sean, be steadfast. And it's amazing sometimes you can put your name right in the scripture, and it just speaks directly to you. Where David said, but as for me, Sean, but as for you, Sean, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your work in me is not in vain. It's not a waste of time. Sean, be steadfast and immovable. What is it, church, when we understand it is to be consistent? Is there a consistency in you and I? Is there this level of God? You can expect this from me because I want to walk consistent with you. Church, what is it? And this just all comes from this worship. This is not the message. We'll get to that in a minute. But there's so many things in my heart in worship this morning that I just felt like you need to share in regards to what it really looks like to be steadfast and immovable. What it looks like in this life of consistency, this life of my personal time before the Lord, my life of personal time and what it is to be consistent at church and consistent of the family and consistent at home and consistent in my walk with Him and my study of His Word, diving into the Word of God, consistent in my time of prayer, where be steadfast and immovable, always, I love that word, always, not sometimes, not just on Sunday, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing. I love that part. Knowing. I can know that when I'm steadfast, I can know that when I'm immovable and I am abounding in His work, I can know that it's not a waste of time. How many times do you think you've poured in and you've poured in, you've invested and you've invested and you just come to the place, is it even worth it? And he says, Sean, listen. Be steadfast. Be immovable. Always abounding in my work. For in me, it is not in vain. It's not in toil. It's not a waste of time. And amazing that we have a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we know, church, do you know His consistency? Do you know, I can come to a place that I know what I can expect from God. I can expect there is going to be some correction from God. I can expect some conviction when I walk in sin. I can expect some faithfulness. I expect that He is consistent with me. I expect His grace. I expect His mercy. I expect His, why? Because He is consistent. And He's like, Sean, what can I expect from you? Can I expect you to be steadfast and immovable? Can I expect you? And here we have a God who certainly He knows the intent of our heart. He knows every inch of our lives. And I just feel even today, it's like, what do I expect from you? You know me. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can read all about me. You know my consistency. You know that I'm faithful when you are faithless. You know that I have compassion. You know that I have grace when it's not deserved. And mercy is always there, for mercy is new every morning. You know my consistency. Sean, what can I expect from you? And there's just these moments in His presence, church. If you look for Him and you pay attention, He'll rearrange your life in the midst of a moment. Do you have those moments? They're amazing. But man, let's get into this and let's talk about this. We're going to talk about the power of our thoughts. We're going to talk about how it really affects us in our anxiety and our stress and our worry. This is today, and looking at what this really looks like in the power of our thoughts, and just how many times do we make up a story in our head, and it starts off as a stupid small story, and it just grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and then all of a sudden, it's like stealing your sleep. Like, one thing that I would advise you not to do in regards to making things up in your head, like never watch Jaws before you go on vacation to the beach. Like, that's a bad idea. Hey, kids, we're going to watch a family movie before we go to the ocean. Like, it's just a mechanical bull. That's all it is. It was a made-up story. And then all you begin to watch Shark Week, the week that you plan to go to the beach. And then all of a sudden, what happens, though? Truth, man. What happens when you get in and you start snorkeling or you start swimming? All of a sudden, you know that there's 50 sharks. Always right. They're never in front of you because you can't see them. They're always behind you, right? The ocean is just full of sharks, and they're right behind me. And all of a sudden, fear grips. And all of a sudden, we get anxious, and we get worried, and we get stressed. Why? Because you watched Jaws right before you went to the ocean. That's a bad idea. How many times, honestly, do we come to a place to just make things up in our head, in our minds? The Bible says this. One of our staple words for the verse for this series is be transformed. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's it look like when we understand not to be conformed? It means don't take the form of this world. Can I tell you something this morning? Man, I believe this. When we leave this place this morning, even just our amazing time of worship, and what God has already done in worship, but we leave this place saying, God, I have an ear to hear. God, I need this today. I need to hear from you in this today and in this moment. We can. We have the ability to walk out with a fresh new understanding of what God says when he says, be anxious for nothing. Is that even possible, God? Is it really possible in you that I don't have to carry worry and I don't have to carry stress and I don't have to carry anxiety? Are you really telling me that I'm supposed to be anxious for nothing? Do not be conformed to this. This world is full of stress and this world is full of anxiety and this world is full of worry. What happens, church? What happens when you become new in Christ, when you've made that decision to be a follower of Jesus and the Spirit of the living God comes in and dwells in you and you walk in the fullness of him, be being kept full over and over, day after day, walking in his fullness. In his fullness, there is love and there is joy and there is peace. Man, please know when you read Scripture, man, be a student of Scripture when you read Scripture. When he says, be anxious for nothing, do you think for a moment that God would tell us to do something that we're not capable of doing? Hey, I got a good one for these people. Man, look, we're going to tell them not to be anxious, and now we're just going to watch them squirm because it's impossible to do that. And God is talking to the angels going, oh, this is going to be so funny. We're just going to watch them squirm. What a horrible God that would be. But he says, no, do not worry about tomorrow. No. Be anxious for nothing, for no thing. Have any anxiety. Isn't that amazing? Does that mean that anxiety and worry will come? Of course it will come in certain things, but it's a matter of us giving it over to him in a proper manner of obedience to say, God, this is yours. This belongs to you, and I'm not going to take it, and I'm not going to dwell on it, and I'm not going to think on it. And it comes to a place, church, to say, what is it that brings that anxiety, and what is it that brings that stress, and what is it that brings that worry? Why is it that we play things? Again, this is the power of the mind. I think it's the strongest organ in our whole body is the mind that can take something that is nothing and turn it into something that is everything, and it actually is absolutely nothing, and our minds can roll it over again and again and again and again, and you have a whisper at work, hey, there's going to have some layoffs, and all of a sudden your mind goes to the one that, oh, I'm going to be laid off, and I heard a whisper at work, and you go in, and you can't sleep at night because you're so worried about paying the bills and you're worried about your wife and kids and you're worried about this job because you heard a whisper, because you heard a story at work that's a possibility of layoffs, and all of a sudden you lose sleep over this and you're all concerned, and all of a sudden you know you already have it locked up that you're the one that's going to be laid off, and all of a sudden the reality comes up and that never came from the boss and there's absolutely was never even talk of ever layoffs, but you bought into a whisper. Because our minds can just take a seed and it can grow and it can grow and it can grow. And I think one of the greatest, please hear this, man, one of the greatest things that can cause the most anxiety and the most stress and the most worry is the unknown. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know about my job security and I don't know about this sickness and I don't know about this doctor's report. And we just come to build on that which is unknown. And I think it can be one of the worst stress is one of the worst anxiety. And then, of course, there's people that can just bring stress and bring anxiety and bring worry. And just over and over and over, we can hear stories. And years ago, I went to a week-long convention and just heard, well, actually, it came to us. It came to the church that I was in. And there was a gentleman who spoke in church. Can I just tell you, if you hear a series from me or you hear something online, a series, and you just listen, and it's hours of listening, and you can take one, truly one nugget that is life-changing, it's worth it. And man, he spoke a sentence I'll never forget. He said this: stories always bring stress, but truth always brings freedom. Truth always brings healing. Like, do we stick to a story and allow stories, maybe what somebody has said about somebody, or maybe what's the different things at the workplace, or just, and we allow these things to overtake our minds, and it just grows and it grows and it grows and it grows and it grows, and it's just a story. And stories bring stress. But truth brings freedom. It brings healing. And man, when you look in, when you take a look at Scripture and you see through Old Testament and New Testament, God says, don't worry. Don't worry. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for no thing. Come on, let's look at that. Philippians 4, please. Philippians 4. We're going to turn to a few places. Philippians 4, probably not going to get to Matthew 6, but we will get to Luke 10. Father, I just pray that you just speak to us now in this moment. God, we love you. We thank you for this place. Thank you for these people who are here today. God, we are amazed at what's happening here. We thank you for these people, God. But in this moment, Father, we are here to hear from you. God, we're here to acknowledge you. God, that you would speak into our lives in this moment right here. Father, that you, Jesus, you said, those who would have an ear to hear, let them hear. And God, we ask that we would have an ear to hear. God, we're open to hear from you and walk out this place different from when we walked into this place. God, we don't want to just play church and check a box. God, we want to be in your presence. That God, in your presence, God, that you would speak into our lives and we walk out different, challenged, changed, and convicted, Father. We walk out built up and encouraged today, that we'd have an ear to hear. Church, that you would ask the Father, God, speak to me today. God, speak to me. I'm here. I have an ear to hear. God, I'm open, and I need to hear from you. I need a word from you in this moment. I need a word from you. I'm not here to play church. God, I need you. I need to hear from you. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Look at this, Philippians 4. This is great. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. Again, we covered this a couple weeks ago. This is from Paul. And we know that Paul has been stoned, left for dead. We know that he's been beaten times without number. He's been beaten with little baseball rods 3 times. Look, could you imagine being tuned up with little baseball rods over and over? He's been ripped and shredded 5 times. He's been left alone and abandoned. He's been shipwrecked. And he comes to a place to say, rejoice. Really, Paul? Like, you and I really don't really have persecution. We don't really come to a place and say, hey, I have a life that matches with Paul's. I don't know the last time you were stoned and left for dead, church. We don't really do that anymore. And here, after all this, he says, rejoice. And the word rejoice, it means to have delight. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, where's our rejoicing? Our rejoicing is in the Lord. Rejoice, it's a choice. Church, we can wallow in it, or we can choose to walk in a delight, choose to walk in the gladness. In any circumstance in life, we come to a place to say, I choose in my mindset. I'm going to make up my mind by my choice to say, I will rejoice. I will have delight. I will be glad in it. And he repeats it again. He says, again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. And I love this. Here it is, verse 6. Is this even a possibility? Be anxious for nothing. Be worried. Be stressed. I love it because he says, for no thing. Do we think, church, do we think for a moment that he would actually put something in here in the scripture, which is his divine word without error, that he would ever put something in the scripture that we cannot attain to? He said, be anxious for no thing, for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. I love it. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. When you come to a place, what can I ask you, what is it? How is it that you can have the peace of God when we're always anxious, when we're always stressed, when we're always worried? You can't. The peace of God just gets stolen from you, man. It gets ripped from you when we walk in a sense of anxiety. I love how in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he puts everything in a great order in Scripture. Be anxious for no thing. But in all things, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Can I just share this, man? In your time of prayer, like we can get into just a systematic prayer at times. And I love my morning time. I get up, I get on my face, I cry out to the Lord. I have my time of prayer. I have my time of personal devotion, which blesses me. And then I have my time of preaching, which I hope truly blesses you, my preaching time of study. But it's a moment that I've come to realize, what is it to be anxious for nothing? But he goes right into it. But in all things, by prayer and supplication, isn't it amazing that we are called to cry out to God for the very thing that's in our heart in that moment? It's not we don't get up and do our systematic, God, thank you. God, thank you for my wife. Thank you for me, which is all important, which absolutely comes out in prayer every single day. But then we miss the actual things that are bothering us. We miss the actual things that are in our heart. We miss the actual things because maybe we just think God doesn't care about the little things. Those little things that cause that stress and that cause that anxiety that grow into bigger things. And I love it because he says, be anxious for nothing. In the same verse, he says, go to prayer about it. We're called to pray about the very things that are bothering us. And I love Renee because people will come to her and they will begin to share things with her. And one of her very first questions is great. Well, have you prayed about it? You'd be amazed at how many times they just look at her like, you mean I can pray about that? Isn't it amazing that the very things that cause us concern and the things that we're so worried about and the people in our lives and just the different things that which is causing the hurt, the pain, and the stress and the anxiety and the worry, these are the very things that we're called to just hand over to him in prayer and cry out to him. Have you prayed about it? I love that answer from my wife because they'll just stop and say, well, not really. Well, then let's pray about it. Let's not be worried about this. Because you come to this place to understand, God, there are so many unknowns in life and there's so many ways that we can be stressed. Yeah, but you're not like the world. You're not going to be transformed. That's for the Christian that we understand that by his spirit, he reigns within us. And in that, there is peace. And Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, dwells and remains within us by his spirit. Church, normal for a Christian is not worry, anxious, and stress. That's not normal. Please hear me. But you got to do it God's way. Sean, it's impossible to live without stress. It's impossible to live without being so worried about so many different things. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. How? Church, this is how powerful this. This is truly when you get this series, this is how life-changing it is. Be renewed. How? By the power of our mind. We come to the place to what we think about, come to the place of what we dwell about, come to the place, God, you said that I don't have to walk in anxiety. You said that I don't have to walk in stress. You said that doesn't mean that it's not going to come knocking and be a part of it. It's a matter of what I do with it to give it over to him. I'm not going to play the stories over my head that they grow bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm not going to be concerned about the sharks in the water when there's not even a shark around. I'm not going to play these games in my head. In church, can I tell you that it's a head game? It's just over and over and over, and we make it up, and we build things in our own minds. And God says, listen, be anxious for nothing, but what you're supposed to do, you're supposed to pray about it. And you come to this place to cast it over to him. See, can we turn with me, please? This was in the first service, and the Lord put it on my heart right in the middle of preaching. I want you to turn to Isaiah, please, 26. Isaiah 26, this is a great verse. And this is fresh. It just came, honestly, from the first service that I was just preaching. This is what came to heart, and I believe it was from the Lord. And it's Isaiah 26. If you could just turn there with me, please. This is just one of those verses. Church, if you get it, it sticks to your ribs. I love this. The steadfast. Here it is again. This has kind of been the theme of the day. The steadfast of mind. Isn't there so much in Scripture about what we think about? Isn't there so much in Scripture about our minds? Isn't there so much in Scripture about what we dwell on? And you come to this place, I love this, the steadfast of mind. You, God, you will keep in perfect peace. The steadfast of mind, you, that's a capital Y. God, you will keep in perfect peace. For I love this, for what? For he trusts, that's me, for he trusts in you. the steadfast of mind, that mind which is stuck on you. Colossians 3:2 says, because set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. The steadfast of mind. God, you, I love this. God, it's not even on me. God, you will bring the perfect peace because my mind is stuck on you. My mind is established on you. The things that I think about are on you. God, the things that I'm setting my mind towards are the things above and not on the things of the earth. The things of the earth are worry, anxiety, and stress, and stories, and the unknown, and the crazy. But God, I can come to a place to know that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God, that you are always consistent, and I can bank on your faithfulness, and I can bank on your consistency, God, the steadfast of mind. God, you will keep in perfect peace. Church, over and over, we see biblically that it is absolutely biblically possible to walk in a place of peace and not be anxious and not let stress master your mind. Either you take it or it takes you. Can I just say that? I think that I'm not a big stat guy, but one of the top five, I believe, reasons for doctor visits is stress. One of the top five of all reasons to visit the doctor. Some would even say it's the number one reason people visit the doctor is because of stress, worry, and anxiety. What happens when we come to a place, say, God, my mind is so stuck on you and your consistency and who you are and your love for me and your care for me. God, my mind is so stuck on you that you will give me this perfect peace. Why? Because I trust in you. Isn't it amazing that our trust in him is to a level of our peace level? How much we really trust in him, how much we're able to cast onto him, how much we're able to give him. We come to this place to say, God, in all of that, I am called to be anxious for no thing. God, I want to have the steadfast mind, the power of my thoughts, the power of my mind to be stuck on you. And in that, God, you will bring me perfect peace. And in that, God, I have trusted in you. It's a beautiful verse. It's powerful. And you come to a place, even, we're not going to have time to get to Matthew 6, but you come to a place in Matthew 6, at the end of the chapter, it says, do not worry about tomorrow. Church, you see it over and over and over again. Is it possible to walk out today challenged and changed? Is it possible to walk out today, God, I'm going to fix my mind on you. God, I'm going to fix my mind and trusting in you. And it's just not a one-time deal. It's this consistency, this battle of your mind that you come through and say, God, I'm going to control every thought that comes into my head. 2 Corinthians, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 2:10, I believe. We'll get into this in another message. But it says, take every thought captive in Christ. Isn't it amazing that you and I, who are not formed to this world, we don't take on the form of this world that's full of stress, worry, anxiety, fear. We take on the image of God in this, and we come to a place and say, man, I can be changed and transformed and different from the past because I have renewed my mind. There is so much to this, church. There's so much to this. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. I mean, that just sounds positive. Do not worry. I think, again, one of the greatest things that brings the worry is the unknown. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. And then it kind of ends with a bummer because each day has enough trouble of its own. Oh, that's great news. But, man, when you're in this, you know it's true. But we do have time to get to Luke 10, please. I want you to see this. This is so good, church. Because I, as your pastor, I just want you to understand what it is to walk in that sense of our minds being so stuck on him and us living that life of consistency where I'm not going to buy into a story that's going to bring stress. I'm not going to buy into an unknown worry that I... Isn't it true? There's so many stats out there that most, I believe they say it's between 75 and 90% of the things that steal your sleep that you're worried about never even take place. What a waste of time. I like to sleep. I don't sleep much, but when I do, I slept great last night. It was awesome. First time I've been woke up by alarm in a long time, church. It's great. And I love that. I like sleep. I don't want things to steal my sleep. Especially things that are never, ever going to happen. What a waste. What a waste. And I love this because here it says right in Luke 10, this amazing story with Jesus. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. This is Martha's home. And she had a sister called Mary. And you got to understand the relationship between Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Lazarus was the brother. Lazarus, the one that Jesus called out of the grave. This was a very close family to Jesus. He knew them. He understood them. They knew Jesus. They loved Jesus. Here, you've got to understand, they knew Jesus in a sense where Martha knew, man, I've got God in the flesh coming to my home. I mean, ladies, can I ask, what would you do in your home? If you knew Jesus was coming to your home, they've seen Jesus, they've known Jesus, they've loved Jesus, and here you've got Jesus coming into their home. I'm sure you would do the dishes. I'm sure you would bring out the vacuum. I'm sure you'd have your kids with dust mops in their hand, and you would just be busy, and you'd be cooking this amazing, incredible meal that Jesus would eat, and you're so pumped and blessed, but you're working, and you're working, and you're working, and you're working so hard, and here Jesus comes into her home, and here's Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted in all of her preparations. She came to him and said, Lord, do you not care? Church, Martha was one of those persons that was just busy, busy, busy. Wanted it done right. And here she knew Jesus was coming and she's working hard. And she says, do you not care? And my sister has left me to do all the serving alone. And tell her to help me. And I love Jesus' answer. Verse 41, life-changing right here. And the Lord answers and said to her, Martha, Martha. And church, when you see that there's in this case, when he repeats Martha's name twice, there's this sense of tenderness and there's this sense of compassion and there's a sense that Jesus is all in to Martha. And he says this, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. Jesus, do you not care? How many times, church, have you and I asked him, do you not care about this? Where are you in this? I love it because Jesus, who knows all things, came to Martha and said, Martha, it's not about Mary. And it really isn't about you being so busy, but you are worried and bothered about so many things. He says, but Mary has chosen the good thing. But only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. This isn't a hit on those who would prepare their house for the most amazing guests to show up. That's not what this is talking about. This isn't talking about you as is your house. It's not talking about the freeloader that's in your house. Because you can look at Mary and say, well, she didn't have to pay the bills. She's just sitting at the feet of Jesus. She had no responsibility. She doesn't do the dishes. She's just the freeloader who stays in her basement free of cost, right? That's, maybe you have one of those, but that's not what we're talking about. Isn't it amazing that the Lord knows that there's a lot more going in our hearts and there's a lot more going on in our lives than we may even tell, because he says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. When she cries out, Lord, don't you even care? And I love this because 1 Peter 5:7 is a powerhouse verse that is life-changing. Church, we can get into the busy of life and we can get into the hurts and pains of our lives. We can get into these little things. We can come into a place. Does he even care about the little things of life? Like, does he really even concern himself with my little concerns and my little things that I've cried out to him? Church, can I ask you this? Please, have you ever heard a five-year-old pray? Lord, I'd love a new bicycle for Christmas. Man, if it can snow a lot, I'd love to go. I mean, do you think the Father's up in the sky going, nah, come on, man. I'm so busy in the Middle East. I've got so many things going on. Would you get real in your prayers? Of course not. What happens when we come back as a child and come back and say, God, I know that you care about everything that's in my heart. Why? Because you told me so. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares. Or the word in the New American Standard says, cast all your anxiety. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And God, you say that I'm supposed to cast through prayer all my anxieties on you. Well, how is that even possible? Because the Bible says, because he cares for you. Church, I love this because when we come to this place, do you even care? Church, when you understand understand the relationship that you have. If you've come to that relationship with Jesus Christ and that moment of our confession and our moment of our repentance and the moment of to know that I need Him in my life as Lord, Master, and Savior because of my sin that I've done to this place to say, man, I am asking you to forgive me and I'm asking you into my life and I'm confessing that you are Lord and I'm just surrendering to you and I've come to that place to repent, to believe, and to surrender. And in that moment, church, the Bible says that you've been adopted by the Father. You as a parent, when your child just comes to you with the smallest need, do you care? He says, listen, cast all your anxieties on me because I care for you. As a parent, as a father, as a mother who cares about the little five-year-old's little prayers about a bicycle, little prayers about the snow, the little prayers about going on vacation, little prayers, how much a five-year-old loves his mom, just these little prayers, and just to think for a moment that God says, I want you to cast all your anxiety on me. Because I care for you, because I love you, because I'm passionate for you, because I've pursued you, and I've called you to cast all. All means all, and that's all means, church, it means all. From the smallest, the littlest of little things. Lord, please bless my son today on that school bus. God, please help my son in his classroom today. God, please help him to eat. And just, I mean, whatever it is, the absolute littlest of things that you would cry out to God. Why? Because he said, Sean, please hear this. I want you to cast all of your cares. I don't care how small you think they are. I know I am the creator of the universe, and I spoke things into being, and I know that I can do all things, but Sean, I care. I care about the little things. Amazing that even from the story this morning on the lake, the disciples in a place of panic, do you not even care that we're about to perish? And then amazing that that seems to come up when we're running, when we're stressed, when we're worried, when we're concerned. It's amazing that him not caring for us seems to be the front of the line. I'm reminded that we are supposed to be steadfast in our minds. You, Lord, will bring me a perfect peace because I've trusted in you. Because I've trusted in you. I'm going to stick to the truth and I'm going to stick to the facts. I'm not going to buy in to the stories and I'm not going to buy in to the unknown. Because tomorrow will take care of itself. And it's so funny because in my house I found a great way to have an out when the kids are like, well, what about this next week and what about this next month? And kids, I don't know if you know, but kids can be a little pushy at times. Well, what about this, Dad? And what about this, Dad? And what about this? And I'm like, listen, Jesus may come before then, so we're not even going to worry about it. It gives you more time to think. You don't have to say no right away. It gives you more time to think about it. Church, you can use that. Borrow that. Use it. It's fantastic because it's true. Jesus may come before then, so we're not going to fill ourselves with worry and concern because it may never even happen. Why? Because I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. For today, it does have enough trouble of its own, but over and over and over, he says, don't worry. Can you just bow your heads just for a moment? We'll close this out. Come to that place at times to think God doesn't really even care about the little things. God, do you even care? Do you even care that I'm the one doing all the work around here? God, do you even care about what they're saying? God, do you even care about what's taking place? God, do you even care about this little thing? God, do you even care? Martha, Martha. You were worried. You were bothered about so many things. What's it look like if we honestly just learn to cast all of our care on Him, all of our anxiety on Him, all of our worries on Him, all of our stress on Him? And we do, church, please hear this. We come to that place, no matter how small it is, because he loves you. Can we just get that picture? He cares for me. He pursued me. He's passionate about me. And he cares so much that he wants to hear every little detail of my life, of all of my concerns, all of my hurts, all of my pains, the things that I'm experiencing today. He wants to know about it. He wants to hear about it. Isn't it amazing that Matthew 6:8 already, he says, listen, I already know what you need before you ask. And then he goes right in and say, pray like this. It's awesome that we have a Father who knows exactly what we need before we ever ask, but yet he still says, cast it on me, build that relationship with me, walk in that intimacy with me, because I care for you and I love you. And if you trust me, I will take this from you, and there will be a replacement of love. There will be a replacement of joy. There will be a replacement of peace. You will be able to walk in a sense to not be owned by stress, worry, and anxiety. You either master it or it will master you, and it will own you unless you get a hold of it by the power of the Word of God, by knowing this is what I fill my head with. And in this moment, I cast it all in him, because he cares for me. Father, we're just in this moment and we thank you. Lord, we know that you care for us. We know that you love us. Just to even come up to that time so many times in my life, say, do you even care about this? Do you see this? And God, it's just been so good that you've said, Sean, cast it on me. Would you please just put it on me? Do you trust me? Been in that place where you know God's asking you, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Jesus told them in the boat, we're going to the other side. Do you not care about us that we're about to die, that we're about to perish? And Jesus says, you have little faith. Do you trust me? I said we're going to the other side. Can I ask you this morning, is God asking you, do you trust me? Cast all your worries on me. I will give you a perfect peace if you trust in me. If you're in this place, church, I just want to do something. I just want to pray, and I believe that there's a moment in this right here now we walk out different, knowing, God, I trust you. But it's a consistency, church. It's not just a one and done. It's a consistency when that anxiety and that worry and that unknown and that stress and that story begins to build again. What do you do with it? Be steadfast in your mind. Be steadfast in your mind. Renew your mind. Think on that which is true. Think on that which is right. Think on that which is lovely, that which is honorable, that which is of a good report, and things worthy and excellent of praise. This is where my mind will go. I will trust in the Creator of the universe, that you care for me and you care about the smallest, littlest details. And even before I ask you, you already know all about it. And I trust. You're here this morning, man. And this is you, and you know this is you. I just need count of three. Just put your hand up. I believe in an outward expression of what God is doing on the inside. 1, 2, 3. Put your hand in the air. God, I've had an ear to hear this morning, and God, I'm just going to trust you. I'm not going to steal my sleep any longer. God, I have control of my mind. I make up my mind, and in this, God, I trust you, and I cast it on you. Just please, with your hand up high, just take a moment and say, God, I cast it on you because you care for me. I trust you. I trust you. And I believe God is just saying, do you trust me? Do you really trust me in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the smallest things? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Father, we just come to you today and just say, Lord, we trust you. We trust you, God. In this moment, I cast all, the smallest to the biggest, I cast all my anxiety, all my care, all my concern, all my worry on you. Because you care for me. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.